Welcome to another episode of the Nerdcast. It is episode... I had it, guys. I had it. Maybe. 17?
Maybe.
17? I don't know.
I'm Here it is. Burgundy.
Here's the next episode. Welcome back to the Nerdcast. The episode is written down, so even if we don't have it in our heads, it's still wherever you're listening to this from. All right, let's see if we can remember all the nicknames. Adam is with us, the video game vixen.
Yeah.
Bob the book, or no, it's Tyler's the book bimbo. I want the alliteration. I went crazy there.
Bob has never read a book.
I know. Yeah. So, what did we come up with, Aaron, last time?
Wasn't she the Academy Award winning?
Well, yeah, the Academy Award winning time traveling wizard, Aaron Leigh Hardy.
Mm. That Hardy just rings a nice bell, doesn't it?
Yes.
Hardy?
As in Tom Hardy, for anybody who's curious and hasn't heard any of our other podcasts where she probably brings him up every episode. But
that's not true.
I'm okay with that.
Bob,
exaggeration.
Bob, did we come up with a nickname for Bob?
The movie Maven.
Oh, Movie Maven. That's the one. All right.
All right.
Yes, awesome.
Come on, bossy boss.
Bossy, and I am Iggy, the bossy boss. So all five of us here
was
again.
Is it bossy boss? I thought it was more like bitchy boss.
We're funny now. We're funny tonight.
No, I really think it was.
No, it was bossy boss.
It varies whenever.
No, there was some other.
A little too far.
Depends on the mood.
Look, I can edit this however I want to, Tyler.
If you go back and listen to the final cut, you can see it was just bossy boss.
Yes. There might be some weird silence.
How
before
come the end of Tyler's sentence sounds like Iggy?
Yeah, it'll be like blah 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 blah. Bossy.
He went and did some VDR after the fact.
Yeah, just doing some voiceover work, you know. We hired Rick Wolf, one of our writers, does a lot of voiceover work, so maybe we'll just have him.
Oh yeah,
do that. There you go.
That's exciting.
Awesome. So big news today. We're actually even though you know we talk about it, I think it loosely gets brought up each week. Even though we air on Friday, we're not recording on Friday, and we are on Tuesday,
which is the
very thin veil that was not very elusive. But it is a reboot Tuesday, I guess we could call it that. We're making it a thing, Tyler.
Try again Tuesday.
I mean,
try again.
Can we
I like
stick
it.
With alliteration?
Try again Tuesday. Can we go with that at least, Tyler? Are you okay with that?
I mean, I feel like we should have done it because like reboot, try again. If we just recorded on Thursday, just gone with the. The go-to throwback Thursday.
We can try again on Thursday. Oh.
No, it's actually throwback Thursday. That's actually a thing. You
oh, is
have
it
to
really
make
a thing?
It, no, we could just
I didn't
say
know that,
it's
Tyler.
Throwback Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, we're recording on Thursday. Well,
we could have.
No.
But then we're going
to ruin things.
And then we're going to miss like something huge on Wednesday that
right,
we don't
yeah.
cover. And
then
we're like, but why did those guys not talk about this
back
when
we,
biggest
back,
thing
back
ever?
When we tried
but then
to
we
still
won't cover it until next week.
The episodes got a little convoluted. Like our New Year's Eve one got a little gross.
It was a little bizarre.
It was because of the drinking time traveling stuff, right? The hangover the morning before. I don't know. Anyways, so try again Tuesday, which is the Fantastic Four reboot trailer dropped today. The new Ghostbusters cast by Paul Feig was announced. And then rumors, this one's not as official, although this one of the three I think we were the most excited for. Chris Pratt to play Indiana Jones. Let's start with that one. Since it's rumors.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, I think I'm on board.
Chris Pratt's in that kind of place that actors of a certain caliber get to where they have a period of time
to do
everything. There's like an 18 month period in their career where like legitimately you could attach him to any property and be like rumored and I would believe it. Like
yeah.
They get hot. Like there was that period of time where you could have said, oh, and they're gonna put Sam Worthington in every movie.
Well they
that
did
comes
put
out.
Him in every movie.
Or
that wasn't
gonna,
just
you know,
a rumor.
I'm saying like but
he
I mean
took everything.
I don't know. I mean I believe it. I feel like he already played like Space Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
True.
Yes.
And he's gonna play Indiana Jones with Raptors. So
right. That's what Bob and I were talking about on the way over was
I mean, he's got the vest on right.
Star Lord is Indiana Jones. Just in the future.
In like, space.
Right, and in space. So, okay.
Well, it's not the future. It's just
it's
just in a galaxy in far, far away.
Oh, no, stop it.
I'm just saying.
So, yeah, you just take him, you put him back in time a few decades, you get the same wisecracking, action-y kind of guy. I think it is a natural progression from Harrison Ford.
Does, and now I know underneath Disney, Lucasfilms and Marvel are operating independently, but... is this a, I don't want to say a conflict of interest, but is this a conflict of time for Disney to potentially try to lock down the same star for two large franchises here?
Usually so much time in between those Marvel projects.
I don't know.
Because he's not going to be in the Avengers.
Star-Lord's not going to just start showing up. I mean, as much as I think they'd like an excuse to, I don't think he's going to show
might.
Up.
What do you think, Bob?
Every Marvel
I mean, he's got what I think they already have lined up two other Guardians of the Galaxy films. I mean, adding in Jurassic World, unless he gets killed in Jurassic World, I mean, he's probably going to be in the next one because they're talking about another trilogy.
Oh, they'll keep making them as long as it makes money, right?
You know, it's...
It's going to make money. Have you seen those dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Based on the first first trilogy of Jurassic Park, like, no one... I don't care if they're dead or not. They don't need to show up in the next movie. Like...
Yeah.
No.
Can we talk about the fact that, like, what's the issue with having the same actor play the same, like, two different characters in the same movie anyway? Why do people have an issue with that? It's like some weird taboo.
What? No, that's not the issue we're talking about. We're talking about filming schedules and sequels and all that, and now you're locking him up. The same studio, essentially, is locking him up for two massive franchises when you could, one, free up schedule to have more flexibility recording one or the other, because now you're tying your own hands, possibly. And two, you could attach another big name, another, you know, ticket getter. You could have two faces, I guess. Would be attached to your... I don't think there... I honestly, when it got brought up, like, I don't know if there's a better person right now to cast for that.
If those were under two completely different studios, I think you have concerns.
Much bigger issue.
But, like, Disney's not going to let that happen.
Not going to let it hurt
themselves. They'll do whatever they do to get it working. Now, if he was doing one for... He got signed to a franchise at, like, Fox or Sony or Paramount, then it's a concern. Like,
oh,
then it
Fox
becomes
with
a,
Ben Disney.
Yeah, like that, then it becomes, like, a concern.
If Fox owned Indiana Jones, they'd be like, we signed Chris Pratt to be the next Indiana Jones, and we're waiting to start recording until the next Guardians of the Galaxy starts recording.
Well, and exactly. The other thing
doing it right now. Okay.
And he's going to be an X-Men.
And if there's one thing we've learned from... I mean, for years, especially the last 10 or 15 years in Hollywood, is we're going to do whatever we've done that worked before until it stops working.
Yeah.
Like you say, bring in someone else. It's like, no, we have this guy who's already super famous.
He's a ticket.
The things he's in do well, so we'll put him in it.
That's very true.
Until his movies stop doing well.
And to be honest, you know, Downey Jr. was doing just fine with a couple big franchises at the same time there. It was actually Guy Ritchie whose scheduling conflict started slowing down the Sherlock Holmes, really.
Yeah.
And actually even killed the Lobo project. Damn, you a Guy Ritchie Lobo movie. I still would love that at any level. But
I'd like Guy Ritchie anything.
Yeah, yes. But as in a Lobo, like doing a Lobo movie, like that makes a lot of sense to me. Although he'll have a London accent, a British accent.
It's okay. It's okay.
And Idris Elba should play him.
Yes.
Idris Elba should play
him. That was what I was thinking of as you were talking about that. I'm like, ooh, how can we get Idris Elba in this movie?
You know, the other thing also, you got to add another franchise to Chris Pratt is the Lego movies.
It's hard to say that because you're going, their next installments kind of go away from his character, though.
Yeah.
Like the Batman one.
And voiceover
is,
much easier.
I'm
going to
jump in there for a week
and
record that stuff.
We'll do it when we need to do it.
Yeah.
Like, no one else has to be available.
That's true. Yeah, you're not coordinating his schedule with 10 other actors.
Right.
And
when you got a free month,
and you can
we'll
record
snatty
it.
Up.
You can record his stuff, you know,
now.
10 months before they.
Right. So beyond playing devil's advocate with it, I think we all think it would be a great move if he did take over the Indiana Jones franchise.
Is this because Shia LaBeouf is not a famous person anymore? What's the deal?
Shia LaBeouf should never, let's just say, he obviously would have never,
have it.
Yeah.
He was the bomb in Even Stevens, yo.
He was the bomb in Holes, but he just didn't have, it. He wasn't indie. He wasn't going to be able to take over.
Like weird, like sort of like Rear Window remake that was way better.
Disturbia.
That was really good.
That was good.
Like I went saw the trailer for like this is like a shitty teen remake of Rear Window.
Rear Window.
And it was way better than
he
it had
was,
any right to me.
And Eagle Eye was actually pretty.
He was fine. He did fine, and his role in Constantine wasn't that bad either. His ego got ahead of himself, and then he started stealing people's
he was
shit.
Like
and
the male version of Lindsay, what's her name? That redhead. That
Lohan.
She used
Lindsay
to
Lohan.
Be,
he's a significantly more talented than Lindsay Lohan.
Not only more talented, he's also not cracked out.
I think
right
they're
now.
At the same exact level. Lindsay Lohan, you just are. have a bad taste in her mouth, in your mouth, or maybe she
no,
has
to be honest,
she has a bad taste in her mouth. That is for sure.
To be honest, no, I'm going to agree with it. He's shown more range than she has.
He's the better actor. Plenty,
no, they're just the same.
What has she shown range in?
Well, she was in Herbie.
Nope.
Oh my God.
Nope.
Replaying the same exact,
did you guys see the
same exact character.
She played a British girl and
but she was
an
like
American.
12 years old.
I thought that they were two different people.
She was 12 years old or 13 years old when she made that. And that, she was actually very good.
Yeah, that's
that.
Her best performance.
She had one.
She's good in Mean Girls, too,
one,
but you don't have to do
mean
anything.
Mean Girls would be like the one movie where you'd say, like, yeah.
But what did she have to do to be good in that?
Read a well-written script. Yeah. I mean, but what was the one where she plays the one they based on Prairie Home Companion? Was it just called
Prairie
Home
Companion?
Prairie Home Companion.
I didn't remember if that's what they called it or not. Yeah. Like Wobegon.
I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
Good movie.
Yeah.
Is she all right in it?
Robert Altman directed it.
No, and Mean, and the other thing with Mean Girls is as fine as she was in that, like
as fine well, as she
I mean,
was at
that's
one
true.
Time.
That's easy. True.
She was like 12, dude.
Hey, I was the same age at that point.
First of all, everybody
oh,
in that movie was like
25. She is our same age.
Sorry, I thought it was
she was
18. No, I used to, like, there's
no,
a couple,
girls.
Like, crazy
I was
ex-Disney girls. Well, one ex-Nick, one ex-Disney girls, like, who have since gone off the deep end, but at, there was a very spirit.
Amanda Bynes
and Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan was still a redhead.
What was the one was the, and this is a little more racy than any of the other stuff, is she did that. When she was like on the cusp of going completely crazy, she did that like remake of the classic Marilyn Monroe photo shoot. Mm. Like with like
which one, Amanda Bynes.
Well, that was Lohan.
Lohan,
oh,
was
yeah.
Amanda Bynes, who's that?
It was
Gross.
Awesome.
Gross
and
Lohan went off
it,
the
it
event.
Pretty,
but the whole point, what I was saying is in Mean Girls, as fine acting as she did in that, to be honest, the cast around her really. Like made that movie what
it
was.
It was,
like,
it was all about that.
It was a perfect cast.
Just thank you, Tina.
But
May.
Not yeah. But everybody in it did their part just right to make it a good movie. To make it one of those like Clueless type movies, like to where this may not have been targeted at me, but I actually really enjoy that movie. So I don't know. Deep End for sure. Anyways, Lindsay Lohan not as good as Shia LaBeouf. Chris Pratt, Indiana Jones,
better than Shia LaBeouf.
We like that. So speaking of. Item or actors that are hot right now are money makers. Another thing there, why
so
do you put Melissa McCarthy in Ghostbusters? Because for how many years now she's been one
she's
of the top women pulls at the box office.
Oh yeah,
she's funny. Kristen Wiig I think is absolutely hilarious. I think if you're gonna go with the females Ghostbusters cast, if it's the project's moving forward, I know a lot of people are really crazy about this. Those are two of the people I'd want in there. Those are two of the people Bill Murray wanted in
there. Do you think Kristen Wiig can pull off the
Which character is she? Is she the Bill Murray character?
I would think she has to be. And do you think she can pull off that kind of egocentric, over the top?
Kristen Wiig,
she was on Saturday Night Live. She can do anything. And she did a lot. I mean, she showed her range way early. Well, she's a comedic actress.
I agree that Kristen Wiig can do anything. I disagree with your premise.
What?
Like, I love SNL, but saying someone was on SNL, they can do anything
I'm sorry. I still
Chris
have
Kattan
a lot
was
of respect
on
for it.
SNL.
I think a better example is the skits Kristen Wiig did showed more range than Chris Kattan was always that same.
Rob Schneider was
Jim
on
Brewer,
SNL. He could do anything.
Jim Brewer was always that same character in SNL skits.
Right,
Kristen Wiig went anywhere from the weird awkward girl to the rich hot girl to the boy. Like, she did show range in that show.
Sure.
And I think where Kristen Wiig's talent lies in too is where we've talked about it with Ben Affleck since he's gotten behind the camera on the directing and the writing side, you know, showing that growth. Kristen Wiig does a lot of that stuff on the other side too, the producing, the writing and that stuff.
Ben Affleck?
And I think that helps her have that range, and I think that's going to probably continue to help her in her career, you know.
So rest of the cast though, then.
You have Melissa McCarthy, and then you have two other SNL alums.
Kate McKinnon.
So they're SNL. What else was Kate McKinnon on, though? She's
She's on Saturday Night Live right now, and Leslie Jones.
Yeah, but Leslie Jones was tied to another show, too, that she's pretty well known for as well. I can't remember. Yeah, they're all SNL alum or current.
Yeah.
I think when I look at them, I'm not too familiar with Kate. Leslie, if I have them correct, I'm not too familiar with both of them because I don't even know if I'm mixing them up. I don't know. It's going to come down to really that you're obviously giving Affleck, Aykroyd and Murray's characters obviously go to Wiig and McCarthy. They're going to carry the blunt weight of the project, really, the the screen time and everything. Yeah.
Have you guys seen that Saturday Night Live skit where they did Justin Bieber's commercial?
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's the one Kate McKinnon did. She does Justin Bieber. You got to see it. It's hysterical.
Yeah. So so she's the one that's tied to another show that I don't want to say sitcom, but it's another like comedy style show on TV that's gotten pretty popular that mm-hmm. she's also known for. I can't think of it right now though.
No, I mean, the success of that comes down to their working relationship. I mean, cause Aykroyd, Murray and Ramis like just, right there, and Ernie Hudson comes in right in the middle, right when you need that little boost and, mm-hmm. and really drives home the character interaction. But it to me, it's all going to be about the script.
Agreed.
If they get the right script, that movie can take off. If they get a wrong script,
here's my
fear. They're going to struggle through it.
Here's my fear with the director and writer attached. I think Bridesmaid's funny. I even laughed some at Bad Teacher. Not a classic, but it had its moments. Mm-hmm. He did good when he was, you know, we were talking earlier about how he was under the Apatow wing, so he did good at that moment too. But I don't know if those types of movies lend well to a Ghostbusters remake, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Bridesmaid doesn't translate
to
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is one of those movies.
It's an iconic movie.
Well, not only is it iconic, Ghostbusters is one of those movies that has very rare, it was one of the very first ones to do it, and very few movies since that have done it well. It's make a movie that's a comedy, that's a good, smart, funny comedy that has a giant blockbuster budget and special effects. And mm-hmm. it's a blockbuster movie that's a comedy. Like, you don't see many good blockbusters that are also like a good, smart comedy. Now, there's some that now are big, they make a ton of money, but you wouldn't consider. And they like blockbuster in the terms of we're going to go spend $100 million and, you know, build a giant marshmallow man and blow up.
An even better way
to
put it, a better way to even put that is go back in time, because we do have a time traveling wizard here.
Yep.
Go back in time and change the script of Ghostbusters to not be a comedy, and you could have a serious movie there that possibly works, you know, like with the concept, the premise, it could work so. If that's what you're kind of translating,
it could work as a
sci-fi blockbuster.
I mean, typically the golden rule has for a long time is like the best way to ruin a comedy is throw more money at it. And like Ghostbusters is one of the ones that break the trend. Like that one, Blues Brothers is another one where it's a big, giant movie that still manages to be funny. Because usually when you try to make a movie like that, it doesn't work. There's just something about, you know, the spectacle, the money, the special effects that just drowns out the funny. I don't know. So
well, because you're not willing to take the same comedic risks.
Yeah.
We can't waste this money. They gave us all of this money.
Mm-hmm.
How can we afford to try to pull off this gaffe that doesn't come off?
Yeah.
How can we cover people in 200 pounds of marshmallow fluff and have them stumbling around like you can't.
And you see, I think that's kind of what happened with Ghostbusters too, is I think they did throw that money out there and they just weren't able to.
Well, and they tried to straddle a weird line between, they tried to make it darker and still be funny at the same time, mm-hmm. and the darkness more came through, and then at the end it just kind of got campy.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah.
It's not, right. not as classic
depends,
as the first one.
Yeah.
So I think, I know there's been a lot of, this one has seen a lot of pushback since the rumors that it would be an all-female cast. I'm not so bothered by that. I mean, Bill Murray gave it its blessing too. Anything to get him out of doing
having
another
to do
Ghost.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm not so bothered by it. I'm not even that bothered by the cast. But like I said, I'm really worried. I don't think your writer director here has what it takes to carry a movie like this. Is my problem. And even though, like I said, there's probably going to be funny moments, I'm going to relate this to feeling more like a bad teacher when I get done seeing it, as opposed to Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids, I'm willing to watch again. It's funny. It goes together. It relates more to women, sure, that's the whole point of it, but it definitely works. Bad Teacher, I'm glad I saw it, but I don't need to see it again.
I'm just concerned that, I mean, and this has happened to a lot of those big comedies now go for too broad of an appeal, and it's definitely, we want the comedy to be broad, we want to go for lowest common denominator, we want this to be funny to everyone, and that's not why Ghostbusters is funny. There are jokes, there are tons of jokes in that go over half the audience's head, and that's why it's as good as it is.
Oh, yeah. No, it needs mm-hmm. to be smart. It needs to be a smart movie for sure.
For sure. So the third of the Try Again Tuesday. Actually was the first one that came because it came out this morning, like mm-hmm. pretty early. The Fantastic Four teaser trailer for the reboot. A lot of, First of all, as soon as it got announced that they were rebooting it, there was already some kind of oomph to it, because it was obvious this is a, I don't want to say a money grab, but a franchise grab. Fox knew they had to do something to keep it in their possession once Disney made the move on Marvel, because it kind of reset timelines on how long you had to do to make another movie or reboot. Okay, the first ones weren't that great. Let's see what happens, but obviously this is just a quick thing. Amazing Spider-Man comes out with that same premise, because Sony does the same thing.
Yeah.
Works. So on my end, I got a little bit of hope that maybe this Fantastic Four reboot's going to work. Then they announced the cast. A lot of pushback, because you have Johnny Storm is now played by Michael B. Jordan, so he's black. It doesn't bother me that much. The thing that bothers me is now you have a sister and brother, one who is white and one who's black. So now...
Adoption,
but then...
Are they still brother and sister?
Well, that's the thing. Is it adoption? Is it brother and sister? Either way, now you're starting to mess with the canon. You're starting to mess with the source material. So that's my little bit of concern. Make him not concerned that he's black. Make them both black. Or hopefully there's a good way they premise that without us feeling like they're just... I think the biggest fear for me is, well, if they're going to change that, what else are they going to change? You know, type thing.
Yeah.
Script rumors come out. All this stuff comes out, and it's just, I think expectations for this probably are lower than any other comic book movie amongst the comic book audience. I don't know. And then we see the trailer today. A lot of positive response. Adam, you messaged me today. Positive response. Sam Maggs over at the Mary Sue, she was freaking out about it, but then she said at the end of the day, she goes, oh, even though the trailer is better than Ant-Man, I still think Ant-Man will be the better movie. I'm kind of with her on that. I don't feel like, Tyler, we talked about it a little bit ago, the trailer doesn't really give us anything.
Here's your four characters.
Yeah.
Here's some silhouettes of the Thing. Mm-hmm. Here's some people looking pensive at the camera.
Here's Michael B. Jordan catching on fire for a half a second.
Here's some people getting into space suits and going to space. Like, there's literally nothing there, which I'm okay with. It's a teaser trailer. I would rather you didn't show me half the movie, but there's nothing there that...
To get you excited.
Because of the low expectations and the lack of success for the first two things, you need to come out the gate with something that gets us back on board.
But I think it's enough. I think there's enough there that it'll just kind of pick our interest a little bit, saying, okay, this is not what we were expecting. You know?
But there's not enough there to tell. Not enough there to pique my interest.
I agree with you, but what Bob's saying is what's happening, though. That's the general excited about it.
You could have just then released 5 minutes of them, like, standing in front of a camera, like, and that's all. I mean, because that's what this is. It's not.
It's still getting that response. It's getting that response Bob's talking about.
Right,
though.
But I think the thing is, Tyler, is you look at a movie, you look at, like, Ant-Man. For me, the teaser trailer they released of that made me want to watch it less, which is the opposite of what you want.
This is true.
It actually de-interested.
The ant-sized trailer or the regular-sized teaser
either
trailer?
One. Yeah, but either one. It lost interest for me, as opposed to this movie, that teaser trailer, even though you don't get a whole lot, maybe my interest didn't go through the roof, but it's higher than it was before.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. Your teaser trailer starts moving people in that direction of, I'm willing to give this a chance. And then when the trailer drops, they're more open to it. Yeah. I think it's accomplished that goal.
I think the really successful comic book ones are the ones where you don't show a whole lot overtly, but there's just enough shots there to make people sit there and pick it apart frame by frame. Like, what's this supposed to be? Or where are they at here? What's going on here? And this one's...
No.
They apparently go to space and something happens.
Bob, you alluded that they gave us something in the trailer.
That's correct.
What were you were saying
it's
earlier?
Fantastic Four lore.
I know.
Of course they go to space.
I did.
Yeah, you said, we said that it doesn't really show us anything. You said, actually, they show, and then you never, so was there anything in particular you were leading to with that, or just?
I don't know.
I don't know if you got, like, a glimpse of Galactus that I missed.
No,
or
you didn't.
And they're going to have to be, I mean, I suppose they have to be kind of careful with who they are allowed to introduce or not allowed to introduce that can reach into other franchises. I don't know where the rules are with that.
They're going to be part of that property. Fantastic or Silver Surfer, they're obviously, because they've already secured that with the movie. That's hard, because when you talk about Fantastic Four, it's kind of like talking about the Avengers. With X-Men, it's a little bit different, because that's somewhat disjointed from
and they've got
these
so
other
much
characters
within their
yeah
within their
and they have
realm
so many already
in, yeah.
There is a lot of crossovers, but it's not that this Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the event, you constantly see these characters crossing over,
right?
And so it does become one of those blurred
I think I would have to dig into the actual, I've never done the research on, like, what the actual contract says, but the more I've seen, it's more like, you know, where were they originally introduced? Like, what comic did they first show up in? That's who kind of has it. Because Doom's definitely, like, the Fantastic Four character villain, but he's also, like, one of the, like, Black Panther villains. And right. Black Panther's going to be a Marvel property, so.
But then there's the question there, like, Quicksilver got used from two
exactly.
companies, so can Doom be used for the Black Panther property that Marvel's doing?
So that's the question. I don't know, because Doom was originally very much, like, the Fantastic Four. Now, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were very much originally pretty much Avengers, who then turns out are X-Men
right.
and,
or,
you know,
Magneto's
children and stuff like that.
The other thing for me is I don't know the Fantastic Four very well at all. Like, other than...
I don't think Fox does either.
Well, I don't think do a lot of people. I mean, is this something that you've alluded to, that lore changing or shifting just a little bit? Like, they're going to alter source material. If you're going to alter source material of any of the comic books, is this the one that you can do it with and get away?
Probably, because, I mean, the Fantastic Four haven't really been... As those four characters haven't really been... at the forefront of Marvel, at least in the comic book world, for a long time. Where the team has changed, and they changed their name. They were the Future Foundation, and then Storm was a Fantastic Four, and Reed and Sue split up. I mean, they haven't been at the forefront of things for a long time, at least not at those, not, you know, Johnny, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of missing something here. I think the biggest thing, the biggest draw is going to have is Marvel. I mean, the fact that that's going to be above the title, I think... that's going to be the draw in. I mean, right now Marvel has a lot of carte blanche because of Guardians of the Galaxy and all those other, and
don't forget the Avengers,
the
that
Avengers
broke
is,
box office records.
Yeah, and that's going to be coming out in May. I think one thing that's going to be kind of interesting is you got Ant-Man coming out like 2 weeks right before Fantastic
mm-hmm.
Four.
Yeah.
So, that one's weird because it's like you say, it's not a DC property versus a Marvel property. They're competing at the box office. Even though it's two different studios, at the end of the day, it's still Marvel versus Marvel. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I know Marvel gets the least from Fox as they do with any other studio relationships, but are you still stepping on your, what, 2-3% you get from this by doing Ant-Man just a couple weeks before? Or are you trying to shut Fox out? Like,
It's those, the acrimony between those studios that aren't Marvel has reached a point.
Yeah.
We don't want anyone else to be successful with our properties that isn't.
Is Ant-Man, is that a Disney?
Yes. That's Marvel.
Yeah, that's
Marvel Disney.
True Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel Disney.
That's Marvel Studios.
Well, because Ant-Man's, deep down, it's an Avengers property, if you were to look at it in terms of those groups. I think going back to what we're talking about of messing with the source material for Fantastic Four, I think kind of what you're saying, to mainly put it really in an easy way to, I think, explain what you could do, would this be the title to have liberties with? Let's just sum that up since I'm rambling here.
Since it's so easy to say.
What I'm trying to say is, of all those big names that we know from the comic books, everybody knows the name Fantastic Four.
Right.
But they don't really, like Tyler's pointing out, you don't really know what's going on. So if this is the title that you want to say we can do something with and probably get away with it more and still it be a big enough title that people know what it is and want to go
see
it, this would be the one. Yeah.
And we don't talk about it as much because they've become established, but there was a ton of changing with things that are fairly integral to, like, the backstories of a lot of the successful ones. Like, they took a lot of liberties with Iron Man. They took tons of liberties.
But at the same time, Marvel has said this is the cinematic universe that's running parallel to our comic universes.
But I mean, just like, it's when they're good, we forget that we were pissed that they changed this thing.
That's a good point.
And when they're bad, they're like, well, they changed this, they changed that, they changed
that. Right, it would have been better if they had just left it the same.
We were mad at the first Fantastic Four because they messed with Doctor Doom. We're not really mad. We're just mad it was a bad movie. If it had been an amazing movie, we'd have been totally okay with him face turning to metal and being friends with them and going to space with them. But it was not good, so we were pissed about it. Like, because now the ones that were good and have become established, that is like the source material now. Like the MCU version of Iron Man.
Yeah, a lot of people see that.
You know, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man became who Spider-Man was with... you know, not with web shooters. You know, that pissed people off before that movie when they found out he wasn't going to have web shooters. People lost their minds.
I was actually upset about that when that was coming out because that was the one thing I loved about Spider-Man was
the little web shooters.
His intelligence and his ability to, like,
he built them his basement and stuff like that. And that his first girlfriend was, you know, Mary Jane and not, you know, Gwen Stacy or whatever. I mean, like, people got mad.
Oh, yeah.
And then the things turned out to be good and people forget. They're like, no, it's fine.
It's all right.
It's good.
At the same time, you've had how many... origin stories of Spider-Man. You've had different universe ones.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four never, I mean, they never had like an Ultimates reboot.
They did.
Did they really?
There was an Ultimates Fantastic Four.
But did they reboot them enough to like change
that?
Oh,
yeah. It changed a lot.
Did it? Okay, I must have missed that.
It just wasn't
very good. That must be why I missed it.
No, there was an Ultimate Fantastic Four.
I feel like...
it's not around anymore. Like, the only Ultimate title that was running prior to this like Secret Wars was Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So.
I think when I look at it, it's one of those things that if you want to change it for whatever reason, that's fine. It's just got to have good reason.
Yeah, it's got to be a good movie. It's got to make sense.
Not
in
even
the film.
Good. It's got to. There you go. It's got to make sense. And that goes back to me being a huge fan of the two recent Alan Moore adaptations to film, V for Vendetta and Watchmen. They're different than the movies. There's some things that have changed, but I think it works better in the movie than it does
those
in the comics.
Major issues, though, that they changed. Like,
the
V one for is a big... But
the
yeah.
V one is a completely different motive, but on top of that, Watchmen, the whole climactic sequence is completely, yeah. like, what
that,
happens
Watchmen
there.
Was more just like the giant octopus thing. Is
that's my point.
Too.
It's not
like
going
to
work
V for Vendetta was a full... The
like,
V for Vendetta was a full, like, ideology change from, like,
but it
crazy,
works, but it
crazy
works
anarchist
in today's,
to, like...
Today's world compared to the 80s when the
yeah,
comic
right,
came out,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
When
no,
the
no,
comic,
like,
that's
it made
what I'm
it,
saying.
It made it relevant today and made, I think, a better story.
Right,
but
that's
works.
What I'm saying. So
people are
going to
watch the movie with the ex-prostitute, crazy anarchist psychopath versus we're fighting fascism. Like, that was better.
Yeah,
that
and
plays
so...
plays better. It plays more broadly.
That's leading into my point. If it works,
we're cool.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
With... And that's where I look at it with... Captain America, we've gotten so far away from World War II, it makes sense now that he was frozen and then brought back, because you can't just have this guy who's just been a super soldier for forever. Fantastic Four, and maybe it's just because I haven't dug into it as much, I've always just been that simple origin story of the Storm siblings, you know, Sue Storm and Reed Richards are kind of a thing, kind of not at beginning, then they become a married thing, you know, and then there is the thing, and then, you know, like... That's the one I'm familiar with, so that's, I guess, why I'm saying, if, you know, if they're going to mess with it, at least they've got to do something right to make it work.
No, there are a lot of different versions of the Fantastic Four, and they, but their backstory is almost as convoluted as, like, some X-Men stuff. Like, the Fantastic Four have been all over the place, so. They've also been around since, you know, the 50s
that's,
and 60s.
Yeah,
so.
That's another long-running one, right?
Excelsior. So is your mom?
My mom has been around since.
Mine, too, yeah.
That's, yeah. Okay.
That's very true.
Just and, barely, though, mom.
And your mom as well, I'm sure.
I don't know.
You don't know, okay. so that's our take on the three big things from Try Again Tuesday.
There we go.
I'm gonna say it as many times as possible. Tell Tyler.
I like it.
It's fine.
I like it a lot.
Tyler's just gonna go with it.
I mean, since I came up with it.
Do you think that like this new thing, Tyler? He's saying it's fine because he thinks that if he's like, no, it's fine, it's cool.
That
it's
I'll
like,
just
it's
drop
like
it.
When a little kid is like doing something really annoying, like
you
like,
just ignore
it. I'm not
you're working on it.
I'm aware of like the how it works on Iggy. Like, like this is not a secret. Have you seen how long it's been since he's made a segue joke?
I've done that consciously to try and because it seemed to bother everybody.
It was bad.
If it only bothered Tyler,
it wasn't
I
bad.
Love the
it
segues,
was
man.
If it only
it
bothered
bad.
Tyler and nobody else,
it
then
ruined
I'm
the good segue. Like he would make these really good segues.
Right.
The narrator coming back,
he felt
right?
like he had to let us know. Like, did you guys notice how good that was just now?
Are you guys aware of my intelligence?
I mean, I don't think
notice
you guys
it,
understand how good that turn of phrase
it,
was
please,
just now because it was fucking awesome.
Thank you, guys.
That's the thing. They were a lot of them were really
a lot
good.
Of them were good.
Some of them were
right.
pretty clunky, I think, but some of them were really good. And right up until the point where you pointed at them and told us how good they were.
Yeah, it's like a real segue. It's a lot of fun until you realize it's actually a segue.
Oh.
All right. So I wanted
oh,
to cover.
Oh, you meant the machine?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Okay. I just got that. That was a good pun. Iggy has something brand new to talk about, and this is a good segue. I'm going to put it out.
Okay. It's not really that great of a segue, but we're going to move on to the next thing anyways.
Okay, go do it.
What's the next thing?
I'm trying to find the news post. Let me go to my social medias because I shared it. I wanted to share something scientific.
Was this about the giant rings?
Yes.
That's so awesome.
I'm so excited for it. So the planet that has been clearly, it was discovered a couple years ago. But now that they have better technology to see it, there is a planet on an outlying system that they're calling Super Saturn. And it has the diameter of the rings surrounding the planet are roughly 200 times larger than that surrounds Saturn's.
That's a lot of space dust.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Excuse me. The planet is 200 times large. The diameter of the planet is 200 times larger. The rings are 120 million kilometers wide.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how many Earths could you fit in that? Because that's, you know, like when we were in elementary science, that's how they taught us how big things were. This is this many Earths.
But
it's a lot.
That'd be a lot.
The idea is the picture that they've constructed for it is you have basically this little dot in the middle.
It looks super
and then just
small.
This stretch of rings. And so you imagine how much larger Saturn is compared to Earth already.
Right.
Then this planet is roughly 200 times wider than Saturn already is. And then it is this speck compared to the picture that you see all of these rings going on. And then there are gaps in these rings at certain spots because they believe that there has been more, just tons of satellites, moons, you know, just
right.
created within these gaps of these rings. So there's just this possibility that there are how many satellites just circling this planet amongst all these rings.
It's exciting.
It sounds like a plot to Interstellar.
It's really exciting
this
stuff.
This sounds like I want to go to this planet. I want to see this. Like, this is amazing. Like, Saturn has always been one of my favorite of the solar system we have just because of that pure, the beauty of it, the color, the rings.
It's
and
the
everything.
Most romantic, yeah.
It reminds me of that, what was it, that the graded papers thing that you see on the internet where the teachers return the papers and they're like, how did Saturn get its rings? And they're like, God liked it, so he put a ring on it. Like, and then the teacher says, no, Jimmy, Saturn is not a pretty lady. So, but I don't know. Is a single lady. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't listen to enough Beyonce.
No, single ladies. Can we cue Justin Timberlake dancing now?
I really, like, I just think that's really awesome, like the concept of it. And it's pretty cool to see the images. I think recently we've seen a lot of cool space stuff with the science, like what was the Hubble? What was the pixels of the Hubble telescope image that came out a week ago? Like 1.3 million pixels or
like
something.
The deep field.
Yeah, like it was ridiculously awesome. Detailed photo. It's fantastic. Or the fact that they've not only, you know, we found how many other Earth comparable planets now on some of these with all this the new satellites we put out and everything, but the one that they found recently that they've really kind of put together the details of it just this fall is like, if you were to look at, when they digitally recreate it based on the information we have on it, it's like, oh, this is like two times the size of Earth. But if you were to look at it, it's blue and green, just like it's just like Earth.
Yeah.
Like, so to me, like that's super exciting because what is on that planet if it's
right.
just like Earth? So I don't know. I kind of geek out about that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Can we play a hypothetical game where we pick what's on the planet?
Sure.
What's on that planet, guys?
Which
Let's
planet?
Let's be creative.
Which
the
planet?
The one that's blue and green.
The Earth one?
Duh.
Okay.
Obviously.
I think it is
chicken.
Earth. I'm going to go with Earth chicken. 2, Tyler. What do you think?
Earth 2?
Yeah.
No.
That's such a good TV
in
show.
In the DC universe?
I'm
thinking
what
the
you're
DC universe.
I'm thinking of what you're putting down. I just, no.
No, there's no Superman or anything on there?
No.
Maybe it's just the Marvel universe.
Maybe it's just the actual 616. Earth 616. That's what it
is. Earth 616.
Earth 616.
Can we convince, that, you know, as I mean, scientists have always been nerdy, obviously, but as this stuff becomes more and more mainstream, I just can't wait till one day the scientist discovers one of these and names it, like, something after, like, oh, this
Krypton.
Is going to be Earth 616, or yeah, this planet's Krypton or something
Vulcan.
Like that.
Obviously.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I want those.
Yes.
I don't know, Aaron. Since you asked, why don't you start? What is on?
I don't know. That's why I asked you guys. I wanted to hear your creativity, but I was imagining fish with fur.
I think that's the planet where Aaron is an Academy Award winning time traveling wizard who is married to Tom Hardy.
Well, I really want, like, you know, like when you see those, like, Sharknado.
Did you say fish with fur? I'm sorry.
She
just
said fish with fur.
Yeah, she said
okay.
fish with fur.
You know, like Sharknado or like.
No, I've never heard of Sharknado.
Where they combine animals.
Mega shark.
Thank you. Like
No, Sharktopus.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Sharktopus.
So like a bunch of.
That's a good one.
Chimeras. That's a good one. Yeah.
I want like a pug to fish. Like.
Pug to fish? You don't need the tail part.
Is that like a dogfish?
Wow, you got way more excited about that than I feel was necessary.
I was going to say, we have dogfish. We have
like
dogfish.
Dogfish is a thing.
Oh,
we have dogfish on Earth.
No, but it's not furry.
No, but you want a fish that looks like a pug.
Right. What
yeah.
she happened is she has a pug.
Oh.
Just a fat,
she
fluffy fish.
She has a
fish.
Pug whose name is Mojo, and she imagined Mojo with with a tail.
Well,
they
I
could
mean,
swim
we
in
have
water.
Mammals in the water.
But
why
would
aren't
it
they
swim?
Furry?
But would the pugfish really swim, or would they just hang out at the bottom of the ocean, just sit on the floor?
Not much.
They just sit on the ocean floor.
Actually, now that you think about it,
what is
there's
that?
Probably
like
a modern day one.
The submarines going, through there, and they're like picking up this noise on the radar. What is that? Oh, it's the pugfish snoring.
It's
a pack of pugfish, and they're snoring over there.
I think they call it a school when it's fish.
Oh, is it a school? I'm sorry. There's a school pugfish over there.
School pack?
Yeah. No, so I think there's probably 5 people sitting on couches talking into microphones about this other planet that they found that's like
slightly
half
smaller.
Their size,
slightly smaller.
But it's blue and green just like theirs.
Just like theirs.
What are they eating on this planet? Do they have
some sort of.
They have plantains from Canada.
Right, some sort of fried fruit product.
Fried
probably.
Fruit product from Canada, not from Puerto Rico or Cuba.
Colombia. Well, that's because on their planet, south is north. The polar ends are opposite.
Canada would still be really
north,
far on
south.
The other side.
Right, and those
It'd
places
still be
in the
close
middle
to
would
the...
still be in the middle.
Yeah,
like... it's okay. It's all right.
You know, like, they have seasons in the south hemisphere, just like we do.
maybe what you're going for
well,
is that
you guys
they...
know that north and south are just really made up anyway. Like, they ethnocentric people made it up, so it's not.
Have you been watching The West Wing recently?
No, this
or
is her clever. This
no.
is her part where she's like, "I totally botched that, so now I'm going to say something smart and be like, hey, guys,
on one of
you guys know that Europeans decided that north was north when they were making maps of the world, like." Because obviously,
she's getting at
the
point. She's getting at the point. Those Europeans that made the map are the same ones that are mad. Michael B. Jordan is cast as.
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that when you magnetize a thing, it points north.
Yeah, but north.
But you could have called north. You could have. What she's getting at is that north could have actually been the bottom part of when it's drawn.
Like when we have a globe, it would be upside down, and we would be looking at a map differently. But the reason why, because
which way is really up, guys? Which way is really up?
That. Anyway, Tyler and Bob, what do you guys think
down.
Is on the what do you think
yes,
is on the,
that's all that
the planet?
Enemy's gate is down.
Bob, Tyler, ideas of the planet.
I think it's a live version of Candyland.
Yes. Can I go to there?
Yeah.
I like your head, Bob.
Hey.
Can I get inside there sometime?
What is
I want to get inside that head.
Tyler, any guesses on what is on Earth 616?
Frozen methane, nitrogen, primordial soup.
Yes. Killing the fun, Tyler. I mean,
why do you even read fiction books? Is it just to fill up a void of
fiction,
no
science
creativity?
Science fiction. Like, there's got to be some basis behind
you
it.
You are such a downer.
Yeah, there's
you
this planet is pretty compatible to what Earth's putting out
we
there
we
in terms
that.
Of
that. Just because it's blue and green, there's lots of things that are blue and
totally
green.
We're
going to
assume,
green,
Tyler,
like
Tyler, we're going to assume that there is oxygen, and it is in... We are already assuming that it is in the range to sustain life based on the star that it's...
Who's to say that life that developed on a totally different planet would even be oxygen and carbon?
There you go. So let's go with this. There you go. So
yeah, it's a...
there's nitrogen-breathing humans? Humanoid figures? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Why would they even develop to be humanoid? They're quadruped... I mean, like...
Have you seen the movie Prometheus?
Are they pugfish?
Quadrupedal.
Well, see, now you're mixing the whole thing in. See, like, maybe that is. Maybe that's how
Jupiter
they
ascending. You think
they did a thing in Star Trek where that's why they were.
You
all
think the human race
like
started
that.
On Earth? That's what Jupiter Ascending, which comes out in a few weeks.
Yes,
that was a plug.
What? I don't need to plug it. I'm just excited for it.
There's some new stills that came out from it. Look, really. I'm
it
not.
Is.
I'm definitely not excited for it like you guys are. I mean, I'm going to see it. It doesn't look.
It might
good.
Have an Academy Award winning person in it.
Uh-huh.
This is
when
true.
This is all said and done.
That's true.
Who's
Eddie Redmayne?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. He is.
He's the guy who wants her dead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call him bad guy yet because I haven't seen it quite yet. And Mila Kunis isn't always the best person, so maybe she's the
maybe
bad guy.
Sympathize with Eddie Redmayne.
Maybe I'll be like, yeah, he needs to kill that bitch.
That's true. Iggy does go to movies and sympathizes with the bad guy.
sometimes he's just like, hey.
And Sean Bean's in it, so he will probably be dying.
Oh.
How soon? Can we take bets on how soon?
It's too soon. That's too soon. Whenever it happens, it's too
first
soon.
First quarter of the movie, second quarter of the movie, third quarter of the movie.
I don't know.
Or in the final.
He is fighting in, I seen in the previews, he is fighting in some...
I think he gets a heroic death here, though.
Yeah.
He typically does.
He does. I mean, he's never going to top Boromir's death. Like, that's not going to happen.
Nope.
Those arrows, I can still
just
feel them.
Taking them home one after another and just hacking off heads. It doesn't even matter.
Right. He made that the character from the book even more lovable. Like... He took Boromir and made him
lovable.
One of my favorite part is at the end of it, like there's legitimately, like, you can't see the ground. There are so many orcs laying on the ground in that movie around mm-hmm. him. It's just
dead Uruk hais.
Yeah, I would have to say, Aaron, Peter Jackson did a good job with that.
I think that was all Sean Bean.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, Sean Bean could act circles around Peter Jackson without any direction.
Well, probably. That's why Peter Jackson isn't in front of the camera.
He doesn't act very much. Yeah.
Good. Because everybody would hate that.
She's so angry.
I don't like him.
So angry.
I mean, he is on screen for like a half a second in the third one.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm okay.
Because he's full of himself.
No, because if you made those movies, you would want to be on.
Put themselves into every movie they make.
Well, to be honest, Kevin Smith is kind of full of himself.
Quentin Tarantino's
a little bit arrogant. Yeah. I mean, when you really look at
that's
it, some
forgivable.
Of these
all they directors can make great are. Movies.
Tarantino.
Oh my God, just get off it.
Actually,
you
Tarantino does make fantastic
you're right.
movies.
We should
you were in the minority in
this.
Thinking that
Let's
Peter Jackson is a bad director.
You know what?
I don't think he's done anything that's blown me away, though, to be honest. The Frighteners. I like The Frighteners a lot.
There
one of the greatest
of
film trilogies of all time.
Lord of the Rings is,
at its time was...
I don't hate it
like
as much as Aaron does,
but... sweeping, like, ambitious project of...
No, I freaking love those movies. I do. I just think it would have been better if, like, 100 other directors took
I don't
the job.
Think any... But no other director had the vision or the
Guillermo
drive or the need
Guillermo
to, like,
del Toro.
He, but he didn't do it.
He couldn't get the
no one was going to give him money to do that.
Right. Jackson's the guy who could go in and get the
and who was going to let him film them all at once.
Because he's an asshole.
And had the and had his own...
Maybe, but he didn't. Made good movies
and went yeah. and built his entire his own like special effects studio that now is like one of the best in the world to make the movies.
It is an
achievement that may never be matched in cinematic history, and you guys just need to get over it.
Anyways, so it's actually talking about that. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Words are hard.
The words are escaping me tonight. It's been a
there's
long
a new
day.
Trailer that came out today. For Aaron.
For Fantastic
Tom,
Four?
With Tom Hardy.
Child
44. Mm. Yeah.
What is it now?
Child 44 with Noomi Rapace, Tom Hardy.
Oh, yeah. And
Gary Oldman.
Right Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman with
lots
this
of
one looks interesting.
Lots of Russian accents.
Very
okay
thick Russian accents.
I'm starting
Russian
to, like,
accents.
Get over Tom Hardy, though. Like, he's...
Oh, bullshit.
Seriously.
Nobody
I mean,
gets over Tom Hardy.
And he has a really sexy voice.
And he acts better than any of the other guys that you consider are attractive
but
in
if he was,
the film industry.
That's not true. Sam Rockwell can act.
Tom Hardy can act better than Sam Rockwell.
Let's have that talk. I think you're letting...
That's a hot take there, my friend.
I'm a huge fan.
We gotta stop everything that's going on, and we gotta address that.
I'm a huge fan of Tom.
Bold
right
statement.
Okay,
my
calm down, guys.
Are you guys agreeing with me?
Calm down.
It's what? Shocking. We
calm
know.
Down. I'm not saying it's like by far Sam Rockwell is a fantastic actor, but Tom Hardy has shown an immense amount of range in his short
Sam Rockwell.
Career.
If he
more
is
range.
In something, regardless of what role he is playing, he instantly becomes the most interesting thing on the screen.
Yes.
Like, he steals any scene that he's in anything.
But it's Sam Rockwell. Like, I don't want to say, and I'm not saying he's not showing range, but, like, I can identify that that's Sam Rockwell. That's, like, I don't know how to explain
Moon.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
fantastic in it.
And he's a different guy than he is in
Confessions of a Dangerous
Mind.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But he's still, I'm trying to say, as I still,
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I still identify him as Sam Rockwell. Still has that kind of bit. But he still has that kind of.
The way, way back.
Yeah, all those movies, he still has that Sam Rockwell-ness to him. I don't
better
know how
living
to explain
chemistry.
Still makes me want to
all these
bones
movies,
every
he still has
on
this
screen, but it doesn't mean he's better.
I don't
Sam
know.
Rockwell. Sam
I
Rockwell.
Don't know.
Sorry.
Wow. It could get violent in here.
Mm. I mean, just Tom saying. Hardy was in This Means War. I mean, that showed some range. So
Bronson range. To Bane to Locke to
that one with Reese Witherspoon and
no, we're not.
No, 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 no.
Because Rockwell's never done a questionable movie, right?
Nope.
No,
I go find one.
His very first role, Challenge. Ninja Turtles, followed by Nothing But Greatness after that.
Look, I like Sam
movie.
Rockwell, and I think he does show great range, and
I'm
I
not
think
saying
he's a solid
that this
actor.
Is like, I'm not saying that this is a cut and dry thing. I'm saying that you made a statement that like Tom Hardy is like a whole other level, and then I feel
right.
like that's...
Your initial
that's
comment, and you have since gone back on it, was that...
Vastly better actor.
Right, it wasn't even really a question, and we were ridiculous for even thinking it.
Did I say it really wasn't a question?
Yeah.
That was,
your intention
you definitely
was
used the word, like,
there.
Vastly better.
Right.
Sam Rockwell was a voice in G-Force, that animated hamster movie. I'm
voices,
just putting that up.
Voices
there.
Don't
oh, okay.
best
okay.
voice
Bill Murray
ever.
Was a voice in all the Garfield movies.
Right, and you can't...
And it was a good voice as Garfield.
If you can't win an Academy Award for a voice acting, you can't lose... credit for
can't lose
okay.
You okay. can't lose street cred for something you did on a Thursday
I'll give
afternoon.
You that. Charlie's Angels 2000.
Yeah.
That's hard to defend.
So?
Yeah. Okay, I'll let you have that.
Okay, so?
That balances out this,
I just
this means
one.
War.
Look,
or this is war, whatever
so,
that, whatever that
okay,
is.
Okay, let me clarify what I'm saying. I think Sam Rockwell is a great actor, not even a good actor, great actor, shows range. I love almost, it took me going back to Charlie's Angels in 2000 to find something that I didn't like that he was in, besides the G-Force one. However, every time Sam Rockwell's on screen, I don't know how to explain it.
It's Sam Rockwell.
And he shows some range in his characters, but there's always that aspect of Sam Rockwell that shines through.
I think that's less his acting, and I think that's more
of how he's cast.
No, I think
or how he's directed.
No, he's a really unique looking
who
person.
He is. Yeah.
Not even look. It's
no,
not
I mean,
even
he
look.
Is
it's
though.
The way
he is
he
a
behaves.
Very unique looking person, and it's hard to see him. It's hard for him to inhabit a role than like someone else because he can't look like someone else. Tom Hardy can look like someone else.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy
he's real regular.
Can sink
right.
himself into
well,
a role
rock
like
roller.
A Bane, like yeah. a rock right. and roll, like a Bronson, mm-hmm. where you legitimately, if someone didn't tell you, you may not know. Sam right. Rockwell always will look like Sam Rockwell forever.
Gosh,
like,
yeah,
it's just like Al Pacino.
From
I mean,
handsome,
he's Al Pacino.
From handsome Bob and rock and roller, though, to Bronson, like... Mm-hmm. Those aren't the same guy. Nope. Those aren't the same guy.
And
he's an amazing
where,
but I'm saying
where,
that
for
that's
me, it's
I'm
gone
saying
downhill.
That I'm saying that that's
that was it.
In Sam Rockwell's case, I feel like I think you're attributing a little bit more of his like physical attributes to his acting ability.
But no, well, he always has that kind of quirky goofiness to his character.
Yeah. I think that's also how he's cast.
I think with Sam Rockwell for me it's like you know, I made the comment a couple weeks ago about Oprah Winfrey and Selma. It's you see when you see her in that movie, it kind of takes you out of it, and it's like, oh, that's Oprah. You know, when you see Sam Rockwell on the screen, oh, it's Sam Rockwell.
I get what you're saying, and I can see, and I hate to say it because you're trying to back me up here, but I disagree because Sam Rockwell, it doesn't take me out of the movie. Like Moon is still like unbelievable.
I mean,
but there
I
is that there's a bit of that the bit of his character in Moon that has that kind of quirky goofiness that is the same quirky goofiness you got in the Way Way Back. That's in Confessions yeah. of a Dangerous Mind. That's in Seven Psychopaths. That's in Charlie's Angels, that's
Seven
in
Psychopaths.
In Seven Psychopaths, it's actually turned up full scale.
Yeah, I think,
appropriately.
I mean, I feel like you're, I think you're, I don't know.
You're going to
like
say
that
I'm reaching?
No, I think you're reducing his, you're doing him a disservice. I'm not saying
maybe,
that that's not true.
Maybe,
yeah. And
I think you're trying to make it
to a guy who's stuck on a planet and, you know, doesn't have interaction with other humans.
Maybe, like, maybe. I guess here's the best way to put it, what I was trying to say. Is with Tom Hardy, I feel like I can get 100% different character from movie A to mm-hmm. movie B with Rockwell, I'm getting about 90% because there's always that 10% of them that's still that same, and it's not looks, it's not casting, it's just, and maybe, and I don't even know if I'm assuming that's the 10% of them that would even carry into real life. I would hope so too, because
trying to think
be really
of
awesome.
One where
he
I want doesn't
to
play
guy,
weird
yeah.
quirky guy.
I can't
it's
think
hard.
Of one.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Even so, he has that little bit of
no, he doesn't. He plays like the mild mannered guy who runs like the dry goods store, wears the glasses, and is very.
But he has that weird kind of quirky.
Because he looks like
no.
Sam Rockwell.
No, if you're gonna give, if you're gonna go one, I can go. The ones that I'm looking at that might sell me off my own story here, Frost Nixon or the Assassination of Jesse.
Oh God,
James.
He was really good, Frost Nixon.
Yeah,
he's not anything like anything else in the other movies.
Yeah, but even when I look at like Matchstick Men, it's a great movie, great role. Like he's the best part of that movie, but it's still that same thing. Galaxy Quest, fantastic,
yeah.
but he's still got that
oh,
quirkiness to him.
Everybody has
the Green Mile. His character's got that. Yeah. He's the dark, terrible, twisted character, but he's still got that little bit of quirkiness to him. That's kind of.
I feel like you're. I mean, like I definitely, I'm definitely on board with your point, but now you're trying to ascribe it to every character he's
yeah.
ever played, and in some places, I don't think it exists. That you're just making it. I think in your head, you've now ascribed it to every.
It's
role
almost like it's like he's another version of Steve Buscemi.
Well,
or yeah. Ribisi.
I get what you're saying,
Giovanni
though, because Buscemi gets discredited yeah. even further than him
yeah.
for
yeah.
not being able to act. When Buscemi's actually a really solid actor,
yeah.
but it's he has that thing
Argo
about him
so
that's
good.
The same
because he's
Buscemi's...
really unique looking, and every time you see him, he looks like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
I feel like every person you're, and I think maybe that's why they get typecast because they're very
oh, yeah.
unique looking.
Yeah,
but I feel like part of this, which you're, even though you don't think it consciously, like I think this thing you're ascribing to him is. Because they are very unique looking actors.
You bring up a great point because Jason Trost, who I think a lot of us like very much so, he's not huge in the Hollywood scene, and he talks about that a lot, especially with the eye patch part and the stuff. He's like, if I'm going to get a role, it's going to be typecasted to that type of role. They're not going to take somebody
dark
that
brooding
has a,
with an eye patch.
With an eye patch to be right. a serious front, like, drama, like a right. man in a serious front drama that's going to do that.
Steve Buscemi could pull it off, but he's never going to get cast as Danny Ocean in an Ocean's
Yeah,
Eleven
he's never going to be the romantic
like,
lead.
He could
in,
do
like,
it, but he...
Casting directors are going to go, we need someone who looks kind of like Steve Buscemi.
We need a Steve Buscemi
right,
type.
Yeah.
Guy, yeah.
And I bet you, Sam, I bet you there are scripts floating around in Hollywood on a daily basis saying we need a Sam Rockwell type.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Anyways,
they've become a
so my
a version,
the whole point of this right. is I want to not discredit Sam Rockwell at all because all those movies we were listing are fantastic. I can never since Tom Hardy has shown up on the scene and I'm like that guy that's in Bronson that also was in Warrior is the guy who played Handsome Bob in Rock and Rolla who is just this low key business guy in the car and lock. That's this. I mean, hell, that's even in this romantic. Shitty comedy called whatever the
This Means War.
Is Chris Pine in that one?
Yeah.
Tim and Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon and Chelsea Handler.
I feel like I'm missing there's one more significant one I'm missing where he's just like oh
back when
that
he
was Tom
super,
Hardy too.
Super young if you I'd forgotten about it you go back and watch it he's in a couple episodes of Band of Brothers.
He plays the clone
as well
of
as
Jean-Luc
every
Picard.
Other what's that?
Oh, he
Star
does.
Trek Insurrection
yeah.
he plays
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Nemesis.
Yeah. Oh, Nemesis. Yeah.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Is he in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the
British one or the
US he's like
one?
The wet work guy.
He's not like the BBC one, the
he's
Gary
like
Oldman
the
one.
Wet work guy that's like out in the cold
yeah.
that they
Yeah, and he's fantastic.
I haven't seen it.
The
so.
The hard problem the problem with what were we talking about? The what is the
words.
No, the one Inception. That's pretty close to his Handsome Bob character. He's just a little bit more action star, but he's got that arrogance to him. So
he doesn't really
there's few,
do much
but,
in that one either.
Yeah, but when you look like there's a few
he's
there
just
that
a vehicle
are just
to move the plot.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, half the movie that his character shows
even,
up in, he's played by a different actor.
Even when they get deep in, but even Lawless, which was just a terrible movie,
he's really good in that.
He is fantastic, and he is different than anything else. Like. You, if you were to hold up a picture of him and Lawless, or just watch a scene and then watch a scene
so,
next
to
it. To
be
and...
clear, we're not saying that Tom Hardy is a bad actor. We love Tom Hardy. We're saying you were doing
just...
Sam Rockwell short service.
Aaron just got me on the Tom Hardy
I
train.
Think
I guess
you want to marry
know.
Tom Hardy more than
a
I do.
Bit.
Everybody
bit.
Does.
I think
everybody
a little
does.
Bit. Think so? A little. He has a little.
You're entitled to that one.
I'm just
crush,
saying.
Right?
I'm just saying. If given
you
the choice,
okay.
the
it's
door,
a
the doorbell rings
buddy.
Right now.
Ryan Reynolds. Tom
the doorbell
Hardy.
Rings right now, and out on the porch is Tom Hardy and shirtless Matthew McConaughey, and they both want to take you away with them. Which one are you going with? Whose car are you jumping in?
I like that hypothetical.
Tom Hardy's got a bigger career ahead. And probably a bigger...
yeah, but whoa. You're jumping off the Matthew McConaughey train? He can get you sideline tickets to like every Texas thing ever.
Texas thing ever. That's
Why
true.
Are you interested in the size of their feet?
I didn't say anything about their feet.
You were interested in something. So you no. are talking about their penis.
I was saying their ego. No, actually, Matthew McConaughey blows
no
him away.
Ego
on ego.
Sweet guy.
But he is from Texas.
And if you were into it, Matthew McConaughey could probably get you a lot more substance to abuse, too. So just saying.
Ooh.
Just putting it out there.
I don't know where that even went. Right to...
He's going to be playing the bongo drums, smoking some weed, drinking alcohol. Anyways.
Sorry, weed is fine. I thought you made it sound like way darker. Like
yeah.
we were gonna
yeah.
like go shoot heroin.
I didn't know. I didn't know where the I didn't know what the line was like with the weed. Okay. I don't know. You know, Colorado is not our main, like not our number one market for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't want to go too far out there. But anyways, as we're wrapping up, I know a couple things, Tyler. You bought a new video game today, so we'll
I haven't played it yet because there was a really big download update when I got it. But
are you doing that update?
Yeah, it's going on right now.
Can we share play later?
Yeah. Adam's like, you're going to let me play?
I got Dying Light. I've been looking forward to it for a long time. It's been pushed back umpteen million times. It's zombies. It's whatever. It looks like fun.
A ton of the new generation games did get pushed back, though, because they were building them, and then it's like, hey, by the way, we're going to have this new hardware. You guys might want to change how you're building it. And they're like, okay. And then we still think we can be out on time. And then they really got into it, and they're like,
never mind.
Yeah, no, we're going to push.
Yeah, and I would rather it get pushed back, and then I'd rather than it turn into a
just
a Halo, a Assassin's Creed, a Drive Club.
Yeah,
a...
before the holiday, those guys were striking out left and right.
Well, it's because
they didn't launch
and this
any
is,
big AAA titles.
And the thing
that
is it's
good.
AAA titles have always had this problem, like buggy AAA titles, because a lot of those companies are more concerned about hitting your release date than they are about releasing.
You want that holiday?
Game.
You want that
you
holiday
want that money?
Yeah.
And it's been, but it's gotten definitely worse now, especially when companies know that we can certify our title gold And then release it 3 weeks from now and have an update ready to go. Like, we've pressed the disc and shipped them, but we're still working on making the game playable. You know?
So,
right. Like, with Dying Light, it got pushed back how many times, and yet I bought it day of, and I still have to do almost a 2-gig download to play it.
So, Bob, you'll be adventuring this week back down memory lane for the Overnighters. You saw that at Tallgrass.
Yes, definitely.
You seem pretty excited to watch it again. So,
solid documentary. It was definitely a solid documentary. I mean,
Oscar
really
snub.
Big, huge Oscar snub. I just can't imagine.
Documentaries across the board got the Oscars.
Yeah,
snub, so.
like Overnighters, Life Itself, them waking up that Thursday morning thinking, oh, right, we're going to get nominated. And they did not even get mentioned that, crazy. But they were just like jaws dropped.
So we will have Overnighters Blu-ray review up, as well as I think Brandon Yotter is giving the other Drafthouse film movie that came out just this week, Why Don't You Play in Hell? He's giving it a go.
Oh,
so
so good.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for that one. I got those both on my shelf. I need to.
Is anyone watching any of the Amazon pilots yet?
No. Tyler,
no.
You keep asking us, and we haven't had time.
It's been a week now.
Bro, so, do you know how many video games I play?
Man in the High Castle. And then I sat and watched Cocked, which was another one that they did. Comedy starring Jason
Lee. Message us the list of the order we need to start them in so we can actually get
those
a few of them.
Those are the only
in.
Two I've watched.
No, there was the one you were talking about last week. Oh, is that?
That was the one he brought
Man
up.
Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
And then
I want to see that one.
This one's got Jason Lee and Sam Trammell from True Blood.
Okay, yeah, they're advertising that one on their front page right now too, aren't they?
Yeah, that's
like it's in their banner rotation.
Those two guys have been out doing press for it now, and it's the thing is they're definitely pilots. Like, there's no reshoots, it's not been tailored to fit. Like, they went and shot a pilot and they put it up for everyone to see. So, but it's definitely got warts and all, but it definitely, I thought it was fun. So,
all right, so that is it.
And Brian Dennehy's in it.
Oh,
hey,
Okay. Here we go. So that is it for episode fill in blank here.
Is it 17?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 17. I'm pretty sure. Now I'm just kind of joking with it. But we definitely appreciate your feedback. As always, every week, hit us up on our Facebook page, our blog post of this, our Podbean page. Now on Stitcher as well. I think, can you do comments on Stitcher? I know it's mainly tailored through the app, but they have a website. So I wonder if you can do the comments on the website.
I've always just used the app.
But we are on Stitcher now. So Project Nerds, the Nerdcast, we are listed as Project Nerd. With the intent that we can put multiple podcasts under that banner. So you can definitely find us there. Another way to access us on the mobile devices, but definitely let us know your thoughts on Try Again Tuesday, the Fantastic Four trailer, Chris Pratt rumors, and of course the new Ghostbusters cast, Tom Hardy, Sam Rockwell conversation.
Where do you stand on that?
That's
what I'm interested in.
The excitement of the Super Saturn being found, and what do you think is going on Earth 616, as we have so named it ourselves here. And then, of course, any information on the new video game, if you've gotten past the update, how is Dying Light working for you? So, all right, well, I will sign off here, and I guess we will catch you next week for another episode of Nerdcast.
Goodbye.